Today's reading is from John chapter 10. It's very short, verses 11 to 13. I am the good shepherd. Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So, when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf at lock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I haven't been invited to a kids' party for a very long time, but do people still play Follow My Leader? Do you remember that? That was a classic. They do. Oh, Jade, I'm so relieved. Okay. Do you remember how it works? Someone doing some action, someone does the salute, and you copy, you hop on one leg, you follow me, I wave, you follow me. The idea, don't we? And a great game. But here is how to ruin it. All right, let's imagine we were trying to ruin that game and we had loads of different people up here. So Dina is up here and she's doing the hokey-cokey and she's putting her left foot in and her left foot out. And we get Graham up and he's doing the Macarena and standing there with her shaking her head in embarrassment. And Tom is doing some different instruments for us to copy. And we're all saying, follow me, no, do it my way, do things my way. Wouldn't that be chaos? Wouldn't it be so confusing if everyone's trying to do different actions and saying, follow me? Isn't that one reason why life is so confusing? It's that everyone is saying, follow me. So from the moment we're born, our parents are saying, follow me, do things our way. Do things the way that you see us doing them. We go to school and things are done slightly differently. And teachers say, no, follow us. Do things our way when you're here. And our friends are saying, no, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to your teachers. Follow us. And then there's all the political parties saying, we've got all the answers. Follow us. And then there's 10,000 different religious leaders saying, I have got the truth. You need to follow me. And then there's kind of 400 million people on Twitter who are all saying, we haven't got any answers, but we're really angry. So you should definitely follow us. There's all these people saying, follow me. Who am I meant to? Who am I meant to follow? And part of the problem is that Jesus Christ, a Jewish man who lived 2,000 years ago, said, follow me more loudly, more clearly, more insistently than anyone else in human history. He's the one who says to people through, come and follow me. But he says it very clearly, very insistently in our verses this morning. But we might not realize that because I take it most of us don't know that much about shepherding. Now, boys and girls, I know I'm the era of Disney Plus and Amazon Prime and Netflix, but you are so missing out because when you're your age, there was some quality TV on. And do you remember this? Anyone else used to watch One Man and His Dog? Sunday evening treat in the summer? Wasn't that great? Okay, now, because boys and girls, because your leaders are so kind to you, we're going to give you a demo. We're going to let you see what One Man and His Dog look like. So, Dina, could you come on up for us? Because a shepherd needs to have a flat cap. Dina's going to be the shepherd, all right? And Dina, can you whistle? Or you can do the kind of comboy. Okay, deep dog. I couldn't find a dog costume this morning. The closest I could find was Zuma from Paw Patrol. So Graham, would you mind coming up for us for a moment? All right. Thank you very much. There we go. Do you want to put the cape on? There we go. That'll go well with the woggle and the mask. Brilliant. Okay. So I was going to ask someone to be a sheep, and normally that's Brian's job, but he's doing Zoom, so he's off the hook. Have a puppet. Now, when you watch One Man and His Dog, the way it works is the shepherd. So, Dina, you're going to whistle. Brilliant. And then Zuma here, you yelp when you need for help. Zuma is going to chase the sheep all the way down the. Do you want to just kind of chase the sheep all the way through the gate at the end of the church? Graham, you are such a good man for doing this. Thank you. I'm very grateful. Okay, because you see, the sheep is being chased to the end of church. Now, Brilliant. Thank you. That was going to win the trials, sheepdog trials, wasn't it? Now, Jesus' day, we discover in John chapter 10, that's not quite how shepherding worked. Because what happened was that instead of chasing the sheep, the shepherd would call the sheep. He'd have a distinctive call. He would know the sheep's name. So what should we call the sheep? What's he look like? Bunny? Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Okay, so Dina, do you want to call Fluffy to come?
Here, Fluffy.
Brilliant. Now the question is, the million-dollar question is, will the sheep come? And this is... Graham, thank you so much. can we have a round of applause? That is so far above and beyond. Thank you very much. You guys are welcome to sit down. Dina, can I say that? Thank you. Well done. Brilliant. See, thank you so much. Ruth has already said, this is the most important decision of your life. Because Jesus says we are like sheep. And he calls us to come to him, to follow him. And the very reasonable question is, why should I? Why should I? How can I trust you? Jesus says he is the good shepherd. Implicit in that statement is just an awareness that there are some very, very bad shepherds out there. And there will be people here this morning who have seen that firsthand. Seen what happens in a marriage when there is a bad shepherd, when someone is not acting in a loving and kind way, or in a family when a parent is misusing their authority, or in a workplace where the boss just makes it a toxic place to be. There are people in the church family, seen churches go that way when they've been treated appallingly by clergy who have been bad shepherds. One of the reasons we are here this morning is because of what happened in Germany in the 1930s when a very, very bad shepherd stood up and said, Foppel did. How do we know that Jesus is a good shepherd? How do we know he's got our best interests at heart? And Jesus in our verses and in John chapter 10 throughout the chapter gives us three kind of particularly strong reasons. We'll cover two very quickly, and then I just want to spend a bit more time on the third. The first is Jesus says he's got an authority. The authority that goes with being the owner. He says, verse 12 on our service sheets, that the hired hand is not the shepherd and he doesn't own the sheep. So if we're walking down the street, God forbid, and someone starts shooting at us with a machine, you say, let's run at him. You can think again, I'm going to find the biggest hole I can and crawl into it. But if we're at war and you're my commanding officer and you say, we're going that way, you have an authority there to tell me what to do. And Jesus claims he's got a legitimate authority as God himself on earth as a human being, as the owner of the sheep. He says as well that he is the one who has our best interests at heart. So he talks about the hired hand. And the thing about the hired hand, verse 12, he's not the shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. So he's not a wolf, but he's not going to protect from the wolf. He's what we might call today an enabler. He is the one who will stand back because literally in the original language, it is not to him a care about the sheep. But to the shepherd, as he looks at you and he looks at me, it is care to him about the sheep. And we say, okay, talk is cheap. How do we know that Jesus really does have our best interests at heart? That he really does love us? And the key verse, the verse I'd love us to go away remembering this morning is verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, the good lays down his life for the sheep. See, if you want a leader you can follow to the ends of the earth, you need to know they are willing to lay down their life for you. I don't know if you know the story. In 1915, an ex-naval officer called Shackleton took his men on an expedition to cross the Antarctic on foot. And it went wrong almost from the start. The ship was built to go and survive the Antarctic ice floes, and it didn't. It got caught in them, like one of the men said, in a bar of chocolate. And they had to abandon the ship. They had to go and sleep in tents on the ice. And it was all right because they planned for this. They planned their expedition like the Cubs and the Scouts planned their expeditions. They had sleeping bags. They had some really good standards of their day, really good sleeping bags, reindeer sleeping bags. This is not a bag, but by the standards of the day, this was a pretty high-tog reindeer sleeping bag. The problem was there were 28 men in the expedition. There were only 18 of the good sleeping bags. And the others were going to have to sleep in these woolen ones. That is not going to give you a lot of protecting out on an Antarctic ice floe. And so they had a ballot to work out who was going to get the good ones, who was going to get the bad ones. Now, Ernest Shackleton is regarded as one of the greatest British heroes. But do you know what he and his officers did? They rigged. Isn't that disgraceful? Isn't that disgusting? For people in authority, this great British hero, he rigged the ballots so that those sleeping bags, it was a matter of life and death. It could well have made the difference of life and death. Shackleton rigged the ballot. But do you know how he rigged it? Do you know what he did? He rigged it to make sure that he and the officers got the bad sleeping bags. And the men, the sheep under his care, the men who'd signed up to come with him, got the good ones. Ernest Shackleton, we think, no wonder people literally followed him to the ends of the earth. It was a miracle that he got all 28 men back alive, but you can see how he did it, can't you? And the Lord Jesus is like that, only infinitely more so. He's not just willing to lay down his life, he does. He gives up his life. See, Shackleton looked at the ice and the snow and the wind and the freezing conditions, and he knew he had to risk his own life to protect his men. But the Lord Jesus looks at us and sees the danger that we are in. The dangers that the things, the people who want to hurt us, our enemies outside us, but he also sees the things we can't see. He sees the devil, he sees the evil in our own hearts, he sees the right and proper anger of God at the way we've treated him, and he comes, lays down his life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, which is why that in the original the word good here is not really good, although Jesus is good. It's the word for beautiful. This is the beautiful shepherd. And boys and girls and grown-ups, if the poppy teaches us one thing this morning, it is that we cannot fix this world. It is too big and too broken. No matter how noble the cause, leaders can keep sending young men and women off to die. It's not going to put the world right. It's not going to lead us to a place of ultimate safety. And yet we keep looking for someone, don't we, who is going to lead us to safety, to a better world, to right. And seems like everyone's got their answer. And in the middle of 10,000 different voices, Jesus says, follow me. And we've got to choose. If we are the sheep and the shepherd is calling us, whose voice are we going to listen to? It might be our family. It may be that we listen to our friends. It may be that we listen to the charming, charismatic, political or religious leader. It may be that we follow the great intellectual thinkers. Maybe we follow our own desires, our own instincts. Maybe we follow celebrities. Maybe we follow the establishment, maybe the revolutionaries. We're going to follow someone. And Remembrance Day says that if we follow the wrong person, it brings death on an appalling scale. And yet there is a good shepherd. There is a good shepherd who claims he can put the world right. Not by sending others to die, but by coming to die himself. And if you are one of the sheep who has answered his call, if you have come to him, if you call yourself a Christian, then we say this morning, we say you, don't we? We say, so there are people all over the world desperate to find someone they can trust who will lead them to a place of safety and security in a world that is very chaotic and very dangerous. You have found someone to protect you who would rather die than let harm come to you in the end. That is a following. And if you're here this morning, maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you need to hear a little bit more, find out a bit more about Jesus. You're very welcome to come back next week. We're thinking more about John 10 and what kind of shepherd Jesus is then. Or hopefully you've had an invitation to the Christmas services here and at Methodists. Be lovely to have you at any of those. Maybe you've heard enough. No, you want to come this morning to the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Amen.